This is Infection, the H1Z1 podcast, recorded live on Tuesday, September 15th, 2015, episode 35. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Infection, the H1Z1 podcast. Infection is your source for the latest information on H1Z1. We bring you the latest news, changelogs, developments, strategies, and speculation each and every week. My name is Nick Craig. At Gamecast Live is my Twitter handle. InfectionPodcast.com is the website. Joining me, Brian with an eye, Aldridge. What's going on, Brian?
Hey, not much. How's everybody doing? Of course, if you want to get a hold of me, go to infectionpodcast.com. That'll get Nick and I. We have a contact form over there. Or if you want to go to Bite of Tech, and that's Bite with an I, biteoftech.com. That's my blog. There's nerdy tech articles in there that I've written, as well as all the different ways to get me on social media. So, or google.com/plus Brian Aldridge. That'll take you right to my Google Plus page. You can circle me there. And, of course, join our Steam group. Some of the people that were in our Steam group actually got notified of this podcast, so hopefully some of you are watching.
Now, Brian, I'm gonna have to say something to you right here, opening the show. Your last blog post on Bite of Tech is October 11, 2014.
It was 1 year, so I was actually thinking of doing my one-year anniversary of writing another blog post.
Okay. Awesome.
So I was thinking about it because I was looking at it. I updated the software on it, and I was like, I should write another article. It was a good article, though.
It was. I remember when you posted it. You posted it like all. It was like spam my Google Plus feed. It was like, hey, I wrote this article about Linux. There we go.
Let's see. I'm trying to remember. Is that it? That was on my back? No. Okay, that was remote access. I did some backup script ones there that I posted everywhere, but. The company actually approached me and said, can you please make this for our product? And I told them I didn't have time. Like, they wanted me to integrate it into their product. I was like, you could take it and do it yourself.
What company was this?
Plesk. It's Odin's their
Plesk parallels. Incorporate that.
Yeah, my backup script into their control panel. And I was like, you guys can do it. You guys have programmers. I wrote the script. You guys do it yourself.
Scumbags, am I right?
So, but I still have people email me saying they use that and it works really
I need to set that up. I could use that on my server.
Yeah, it's actually works out really well.
We'll show that on Infection for all of our. It'll be our advanced tip of the week.
Yeah,
how to back up your
Linux web hosting server. That's an advanced tip
to Dropbox and Google Drive. It's a real. Yeah. The audience is really looking for it.
I know. Yeah.
This is Infection, the H1Z1 podcast, and I just want to say, Brian, last week's show
struck a chord.
Yeah. Now I messaged Brian before the show, and I was like, "I'm gonna be pissed off." Like that. Like this. Like, it's just I'm gonna be pissed. That's
well. Yeah, I was acting like he was really pissed, and I was like, "What?" I kind of felt like he was pissed at me because he's like, "I'm pissed."
I was just so fed up with the game after reading some stuff on Reddit, and I guess you know. People say that I just stand alone and you know, I'm totally off base. No, you're totally wrong because there are so many. We got so many comments and emails and tweets and everything this week from people talking about how you're right on. And I'm not trying to toot my own horn here, but this is the general consensus of and I keep saying this, the vocal minority. It's a vocal minority. The majority of the people that play H1Z1 are not extremely vocal. But the vocal minority, the people that talk, that's the general consensus. At least from the people that were watch this show, which is I feel, Brian, like more the hardcore people, right? Like casual H1Z1 people probably aren't watching this. We could be you know, there's always a few, but for the most part it's the hardcore people.
Yeah. Well that's the thing is we actually have a lot of people that listen to our show that don't actually play the game right now.
Including me.
There's a lot of people on Reddit. I guess there are some of those people that still do it, but we have a lot of the people that are kind of waiting to see, hey, is the game coming back? Like, I'll keep listening just to see if the game starts coming back to what I like. And it gets kind of frustrating, but I keep hoping that everything comes to where it's like you want to play survival again. Because that's been the issue is you don't really want to play survival. And BRs are pretty good. I mean, we've been playing BRs for the last... I've been playing BRs for the last week. And yesterday was really buggy. Like, we were trying to do five-man BRs. Uh-huh. And constantly, someone was crashing out, someone was closing, and I was just thinking to myself, how is this going to go over in the Invitational?
I said that originally, and everybody called me crazy loony. Just hey, well, shut up, Nick.
I figured we had a couple of weeks.
Yeah, we are one week and 2 days away from the H1Z1 Invitational.
So I think when I originally said that, I was like, we've got almost a month here. They're going to pull it together. But we were playing yesterday, but maybe that was just the five mans. You know, maybe individual ones aren't going to be as much of an issue, but we constantly had it to where we'd go in and one of our guys would get kicked out on load. Just weird stuff is happening to where it was really hard to get a five man one going.
Now, I'm going to put this up here. I like Daybreak, I like to be pretty open with my stuff. So I did not play the game again this week. I'm just throwing that out there. And if that makes me not qualified to talk about it, then suit yourself. But I'm just straight up, I didn't play the game this week. I had no interest. There was one patch note this week, and it was nothing where I was like, oh, let me go check that out again. There was really nothing to go look at except for a bug that we'll show you in a little bit. That I missed, but other than that, there really wasn't anything this week to get me back. And it's sad that I'm even falling into the rut where they need to introduce something new for me to go and play the game. And I know I'm not
maybe
the only one.
That carrot on the stick, something to.
It's something where I can see it in the patch notes and be like, oh, all right, you know, I'll go check that out for a little. I'll go run around for an hour, 45 minutes.
Yeah,
but there wasn't, and there hasn't been for the past few weeks, and it's just, you know, plus. I'm busy, and it's not my top priority to get into the game. They're not currently working on any huge, big features that I feel, hey, I need to get in game every week to talk about it on the show. But who knows?
Well, and like some of the people were playing, like Falcon was playing with us, and he usually doesn't play BRs. Like he's more of a survival guy.
Definitely.
And a couple days ago, I got him to play one, and like I could tell he was having a lot of fun. He was really enjoying it. And so he actually messaged me yesterday. He's like, hey, you want to do another BR? Which is kind of funny. So, but he was in there last night and he made a comment in chat here. The bugs were pretty terrible. I mean, it was tough to where we were having to reload and retry a number of times before we got in, all five of us.
Ah, the wonders.
Yeah. So that, as I said, I was kind of wondering how in the world is this Invitational going to go with the current bugs the way they are in game? I mean, it will be really embarrassing, and we said this before, if everybody's crashing out and just weird things start happening during that.
It's, to be honest, it's not even going to be more embarrassing than it's just going to be the nail in the coffin.
Yeah.
Realistically, if this game, and I feel like I'm saying the same thing every week, but there's really not a whole lot to talk about, so I kind of am. If this game goes in front of TwitchCon, riding on Twitch's coattails, not that that's a bad thing, but it's at their event. So they're on the Twitch main stage. They're not on some side stage in a little room. On the Twitch main stage, if this game fails, it's going to be the laughing stock of TwitchCon. Like, look at these schmucks in their game that doesn't work. I mean, realistically, you know, we talk about how toxic and how hard Reddit is. These journalists aren't much better. Right, these guys that are writing for all these big gaming blogs, they're not much better than the people on Reddit.
Yeah.
Unless it's IGN, of course, and then they're just, you know, 10 out of 10, had great water effects. But
every time.
Other than that, it's just, these it's going to get ripped apart if it's not good. And I still, deep down, feel that this it's just too early. Even, there was a post from a developer, that we'll cover in a little bit on Reddit, and his exact words were, this game is still in very, very early alpha, which we already know, but then why is it having a tournament?
Yeah.
Like you know, you want to claim, hey, we're a game, we're early access, you knew what you were getting into, but yet you're hosting a tournament. I mean, at some point, you can't be both.
Yeah.
You don't build half of a car and try to drive it cross country. You build the entire car and then you drive it cross country. You don't have an early access game.
Yeah, you figured it would want to be something where you, let's say they do the release and during the summer sometime, and then let's have end of summer, let's have this tournament after the final release of the game when you feel like everything is totally stable, because this is a gambling move for them to go in here and actually put this much on the line of saying, okay, this could go horribly wrong. Some bug could happen, some change that they make the week before.
The hour before.
Yeah.
And realistically.
Could turn around and bite them.
I say this every week because I feel like I need to say this. I am this game's biggest fan. I want nothing more but this game to succeed. I've not done this podcast for 35 weeks, and I know Brian feels the same way, to watch it crash and burn. I really don't want it to crash and burn. But there's just so many things. How can you be early access and hosting a tournament at TwitchCon at the same time?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any logical sense. It really doesn't. Here's half of a program. Let's roll it live. Here's half work banking software. Let's roll it live into the bank.
But that it is a bet. I mean, being that this is like a gamble, if they, as Minishock says, if they pull this off, it could pay off really well for them. I mean, if they can make it at least publicly feel like it went very smoothly, and you know, maybe something happens, but it's not known publicly, and a streamer doesn't make a big deal out of it. People will say, hey, that was great. We're looking forward to next year, and you'll get people that are totally into it.
Yeah. Now, there are there is the consensus that if somebody does crash, they'll be able to be relogged into the game. And while I'm saying
I heard that on a stream. So that's what they're going to do.
But here's the thing. It depends where they crash. If there's a gunfight and they crash, what do you do?
I'm just going to Alt F4 right before right before somebody shoots me. My game closed out. What happened?
But being realistic here, yes, if they're running through the wilderness, first of all, as long as their camera isn't live, like their screen capture isn't live when it says like H1Z1Game.exe stopped responding, that's fine. But if there's two people left and one of them crash, how are they going to let the person rejoin? The game's going to end.
Yeah.
That should not be. Here's the thing. That should not be your thing. Oh, well, you know, if they crash, we'll just re-add them in. It shouldn't crash. It shouldn't crash. Your game should be polished enough that you're hosting this major tournament with $150,000+ on the line. It should be polished enough where it's not going to crash. How insane is it that we're saying the logical explanation to this half-ass game is that, oh, well, if they crash, we can just rejoin them into the game? Are you kidding me?
I think they're gonna say that hey, it's alpha. That's why we would do this.
They're not hosting a freaking tournament.
I can't imagine in League of Legends that there's people sitting there ready to put somebody back in a game if their client crashes. I mean, I've never seen anything. I've never heard of it. I just don't know of any other games that do that. Maybe they all do.
I'm astonished that the logical explanation for if there's a crash is we can just throw them back in where they were. That's like a total botch job.
Now, do you think that this whole invitational is kind of a testing thing? I mean, this is a lot of money to be on the line for a testing thing.
Well, and it's a big stage to do a test. If they were going to do their own event and just have a few, like if it was like the side stage at Twitch, I'd be like, all right, but this is main stage. Like this is the real deal. Like the Twitch itself is tweeting out this event. Like this is going to be a.
This is the front page Twitch.
Yeah, this is going to be the big event at Twitch, at least for that day. So it's not in the little boardroom off to the side with 10 spectators. Yeah. So if this is a test, they really should have not been on the main stage. And I don't think it's a test, but I do feel that this is a big gamble. I mean, you're playing with fire.
Yeah.
So
it'll be fun. I mean, we'll know in a couple of weeks here. We'll either be saying, hey, this was horrible. A
couple of weeks. We'll know by the 37th show. So 2 weeks. Yeah.
Yep. So I mean, when that comes up, either we'll be saying, hey, this worked out really well for him, or it'll be something they'll be like, hey, that, you know, that shot him in the foot, and we'll be looking at the numbers drop.
Yeah. Now, Falcon said they could just blame the computer hardware company, who are their sponsors, Alienware. Just piss them off. That's a good way to get them back on a tournament like that.
I do know that I know that they're doing testing. I mean, they're doing internal testing of setting up a similar network and playing the game.
Yeah, we saw that last week, I believe. There was a picture of a bunch of them sitting in a room.
So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, maybe these bugs, it seems like they're really focusing on the single player BRs. Because the bugs that we're noticing are all group BR things. Like you notice that the five man leaderboards were not showing anything. Like it was just saying coming soon, but the first person single player leaderboards were up there.
Yeah.
So they were focusing on fixing that. So I think they're just putting all their resources in fixing that one mode.
Now, five man BR has had problems since day one, right? Three man and five man were supposed to roll out at the same time, right?
Yeah, and then one of them didn't work.
Five man was the one that was the issue.
It seems to be the one they have the most issues with is the five man BRs, and I don't know how it's that much different than three man's.
I guess the way that they're splitting resources or whatever.
Yeah,
there's got to be something that they have to do. If it was just changing numbers,
Here's something that they discussed, adding in by this invitational. They're wanting to do to where you can shadow after you die.
Yeah, like
the player's still in the game.
There's like Minecraft mods where like you're playing Hunger Games and you can go and you're like a little camera. You're a little motion camera and you just fly around or you shadow.
No. They want it to be to where you see the rest of the people's view on your team.
So like in Call of Duty, the spectator mode where you just like click the button and it goes from player to player to player to player, like something like that.
Yes. So that's what they're trying to put in for the five man and the two man. So you have the ability to see how they're doing. Cause right now they expect you to stay in the game and look at the ground when you're dead and wait to see what place you got in. You know, it doesn't make a lot of sense at the moment. So if they can get that added in, you're actually going to have people, I died. All right, I'm going to watch you finish.
Yeah, well, at least with Team BR, it makes sense. Like, you spectate the rest of your team. I mean, that's pretty standard across the industry, the after-death cam.
But right now, it makes no sense. I sit in the game and just wait because I don't know if you always get your rewards. I think in the very beginning, you didn't get your rewards if you left early. Which didn't make any sense. So I always just sit around and wait now out of habit.
I wonder what they're going to do for rewards in this one. I wonder if they're going to cut the rewards or they're going to change the rewards so that they're like dollar amounts. Like, so it'll pop. I hope it's not going to give them like event ticket, mystery bag version 2.
They probably are. I mean, it's probably to where it's not going to do anything different.
I really hope it says the money amounts or it's like
$25,000.
That would be cool.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
big stack.
And if they're running on local servers and everything's customized, I don't see why they couldn't.
Yeah. So, we're this game's biggest proponents. So we want this event to go smoothly, but there's just things that indicate that it might not. That's all. That's all we're trying to say here. We don't hate the game, but there's just things that indicate, hey, there could be an issue. We don't have any insider information. There's no insider trading going on here. It's just the way that it looks right now. But other than that, starting off with some notes, we had one update this week, and it was, it wasn't even this week. It was Sunday that they did this update.
Yeah.
In the afternoon. Yeah.
This
is the second week in a row they've done Sunday afternoon patches, which is a little odd.
Yeah.
I wonder who's in Sunday afternoon. Who's got that job? It's on a Sunday afternoon. But just a few quick things in this one, and it was just a test server update, just some general stability things and some fixes for memory leaks, just general tweaking stuff that we've seen for weeks now. This is stuff that's needed, right? They're just constantly trying to tweak the game to make it run as good as it can. But this patch note says, if you see issues with frame rate,
was a big complaint, is the frame rate seemed to have dropped last week.
Yeah.
People are complaining a lot on Reddit.
So if you saw that, report it. They're asking about doing some memory. If you're experiencing memory leaks, report that as well. And then again, the spontaneous crashes, which has been an issue for in every game, right? That stuff always happens. So
yeah,
report that as well. Now the first comment on this is the rain. Because there's a huge problem with the rain sound. And some people are saying it's fixed. Some people are saying it's not fixed.
As of yesterday in a BR, When it was not raining, I was still hearing the rain sound.
So it's not fixed. Because that there's a lot of conflicting stuff. People saying, "Oh, it's fixed. It's in the game. It's in the game."
I made a comment to someone where there's five of us sitting there just waiting for the smoke to roll in. And I was like, "Do you guys hear the rain?" And they're like, "Yeah, we hear the rain too." So, and there was no rain. I mean, it was not raining. Nice. So,
I guess that's still an issue. But the last live server update, Brian, hasn't been in a while.
Yeah.
The last live server update was the 6th.
Yeah.
So it's been almost a week. And most of these 10 days.
Most of these patches that we've had are all like, "Hey, we're fixing crashing," which
is needed.
Yeah, but
it's still
definitely they were saying, "Hey, we're going to still be adding content, you know, up to this invitational. We're still going to be adding stuff. There's still other people. It's not just about BRs." But like, what's been added you said that,
Brian? This just came
it's just
across
been bug fixes.
This came across my mind. Tell me if you think I'm kind of crazy with this. It seems like since they did that month of patches that we really haven't seen a lot.
Yeah.
Since that month of patches, like before that, there was new stuff every week. Multiple days every week. Like there was constantly new stuff. Has the attitude maybe dulled down since they did that week of patches and saw like, "Oh, okay, we can chill out a little bit, right? We can just release stuff when we're ready." Has that maybe happened?
Yeah, and that seems to have been, I don't know if you want to kind of look at this article or, you know, there was a thing from Brad that kind of talks a little bit about this.
You want to sum it up? Cause it's,
well, do you want to go over there was the original Reddit post. Do you want to kind of,
did we not talk about this post last week?
1 million copies sold this was 6 days ago, so I don't think so.
Okay. Well, either way,
we talked about it.
Okay. But, so do you want to summarize the article then and I'll cover Brad's comments? Right.
Yeah, sure, that works. All right, so on here, it's somebody that is just kind of like you were saying, burnout on everything. They're talking about how they've sold over 1 million copies. And, well, actually, we could put a link to the – do you want to put a link really quick in the chat here so people can kind of read along as we go? But this guy's just saying, "Hey, you guys have made at least $20 million, which isn't 100% true. But they've made close to – well, they've sold – over 1.5 million copies now, I think. So they've made a decent amount of money, coming up to $20 million at least. And they're pretty much making a comment that they don't feel like new content and things that have any substance are being put in the game. You know, you get new skins, new crates, different things like that. You know, but what about expanding base building mechanics, right? That's something that you and I talk about. We've brought up on the show before. You know, what has happened to the roadmap? Like the roadmap is non-existent now. And he doesn't say, "Hey, you know, I feel like you're totally cheating me," but he kind of is asking, you know, "I understand this is alpha, but don't use that as an excuse. You know, what are you guys doing?" And he makes a plea to fix survival in here, because that's been a big issue is a lot of people have been saying, "Hey, there's so much being put into the BR type of environment, but there's not things are not being put into survival like it used to be." So this one actually gets a response and he ends it with a, "Hey, you know, I love the game," pretty much.
Like a lot of the people like I said, the vocal minority, they want this game to succeed. They're not sitting here investing hundreds of hours into the game to watch it crash and burn and go, "Ha ha, I told you suckers."
Well, and this guy wasn't just sitting there saying, "Hey, you guys suck. I hate you developers. It was just like, "Hey, you know, you've done all this. You've got money coming in. It just doesn't feel like you're putting that money back into the game."
This was not the toxic Reddit post where it was, "F this, F that, F you, F everybody else that plays the game. I hate it." Like this is somebody that kind of that cares about the game. This is somebody that's similar to how Brian and I feel, and I know how a lot of our audience feels about this game. They want it to succeed, and it just doesn't click, right? You're wondering why this is happening. And Brad, who seems to have done...
I think it's Brad Wilcox. I mean, that's Brad C001. I think
that's Brad.
It's Brad Wilcox. Yeah, who's a nice guy.
This is not the first time he's done this, I believe. He has posted something like this before, where it's almost like it's like a paragraph or so. And like a lot of this other stuff on the show, if you are a hardcore...
Oh, he says Brad Constantine.
Okay, so then it's him.
So Brad C, so that's correct. So Brad Constantine, who's a developer at Daybreak.
But same thing. If you are a hardcore fan of H1Z1, you should go and read this whole thing, and there'll be a post in the show notes about it. But what he says is that, you know, he's a player as well as a developer. And he just goes into how
he's a H1Z1 animator. So that's his official role at Daybreak.
Yeah. And he goes into the whole, he comments on a lot of stuff. They talk about, the resources and stuff that the dam and other big things take up, how memory is king. It goes into a little bit about base building. And he does say, and I'm going to pull this exactly from what he said. His exact quote was, "This means that the current system," referring to the base building system, "may be broken for a bit while we redo a better system on the side." So now this is the second time. We heard the first one maybe 6 or 7 months ago about a total redo.
Revamp,
of the base system. Not a patch, but a total redo of the base system. And this may be validating it, or maybe by he means redo, it just means kind of like fixing it. But I'm going to take this as a redo of the base system, a total redo. And
some sort of a modular system that we've been asking for. Because they did, when this was originally brought up, someone posted something on Reddit saying, hey, this would be a cool way to do it. And it was a modular system. And they said, hey, no, we really like this idea. And that was kind of the start of that talk. And then we haven't heard anything about it since. So until this.
Exactly.
So one thing that I did find interesting is he was saying the dam was nothing but a test to see how, I'm going to find what this was, that the dam was a test to see how that size of a structure would handle in game. You know, it wasn't, that's the only reason they added the dam in there, was just to see how it affected the game, not as far as for it to be content for us, but they wanted to put in a big structure like that to see the footprint in the game. And that's the first time I ever heard that. You figured, because that was one of their first, like, hey, here's the big, you know, the big patch. That was the big patch, and that was the big deal, was that dam. And internally, it was just to see how much footprint it uses on the server. So that's kind of interesting. But at least, you know, it's good that they come out and say it, because, I mean, what use is the dam right now other than landing at it and running away?
And he also made a reference to the new engine, which, Brian, I know you're pretty pumped about.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think that's going to be a night and day difference for this game. I mean, that's going to be what turns it around.
What do you think for timeline on that?
I don't think we're going to see it till, man, I mean, that's a tough guess. I would guess it's next summer. I mean, to be honest, if it were closer than next summer, I would think that there would be more things out there about it. Like, they'd be building that hype up a little bit. They put the hype, they're really good at getting the hype started on these things. Imagine if they started putting out some screenshots and some test things and say, hey, look at some stuff that this new engine does. Like, people would get totally stoked, but they've got to be to where it's close enough to where you don't have people rioting in there and getting so mad because, hey, it's been 9 months since you showed us the screenshots of this engine. Where is it? It's got to be close.
Yeah. Now, the reason I was kind of leading you on there was because I clicked on Brad's profile and he wrote another one of these just about an hour ago on the I'm sad post, which we'll cover.
And that was another one that I actually put in our show notes so we can actually go to.
We'll cover that in a second. But while we're on the topic of Brad, he put another thing on here. He got, you know, I really want to read these, but it's long.
I mean, it's good.
So I'm going to
choose into detail.
I'm going to ad-lib this one quickly. He mentions his last post that he made. But the thing that he said is, so he says, first off, I have to admit that, it's been a, it's, been a very transitional year for us at Daybreak. The acquisition by Columbus Nova was a good thing for us and for the future of H1Z1. First off, CN got us all together and assured us that they had our backs. They stepped up. The new building has something to do with Columbus Nova, ad-libbing, and pretty much it goes into that just because of the tournament, everybody has not stopped work on Survival. He says personally...
And that's what I keep hearing. I mean, that's what they keep saying to us.
And this is a different person. And I mean, this is somebody that we don't normally hear from. Personally, he says he has... it simply falls, and he says he only works on Survival stuff, as does most of the art team right now.
Okay, but this is an animation
exactly.
guy, though, right?
He's saying the art team is working on Survival, but where is the development team?
But the thing is... The animations all carry over, other than the animal animations and the zombie animations, which you don't really see. All this stuff carries over into the regular game anyway. So he can say, I'm working on the Survival. Sure, I'm working on the character movements and things like that for Survival. But anything he changes carries over to BR anyways. So he's not tasked with working on things that are certain BRs, but...
And it's just so funny that we see... I appreciate these guys being... transparent and being active, but these are art guys. When are we going to see some real hardcore developers posting stuff like
now,
this?
Now, someone in our chat, he mentioned something in this article, this post here. Okay. He said, the recent events concerning our former boss has put many of the team in a state of apprehension regarding communicating with folks directly in a social context, right? So the whole thing with Smedley and Lizard Squad and everything. And so he's just kind of explaining that maybe that's why we haven't been hearing as much lately and people really coming out and stating their point of view from inside of the company.
But that's total bull. Because what Smedley did was not communication with his fans. It was ripping somebody a new one on Twitter, threatening to prosecute them. That's total bull. I just don't buy that. Schmedley did not have did not step down or get fired or whatever as the CEO, however they played it, as the CEO because he got a little pissed on Reddit and was saying some stuff towards some fans. No, he was he was threatening to throw some kid in jail.
Legal action and yeah.
That's not the same.
Yeah.
It's just not the same. And if that's the real reason. Okay, but realistically, he didn't get in trouble because he was posting on Reddit. He got in trouble because he was acting like a child on Twitter with a verified account saying he was the CEO of Sony Online Entertainment and then Daybreak Game Company. That's why he got in trouble, not because of the way he was interacting with fans.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion on it. That just doesn't make sense.
So, and that's... Yeah, that's true. And that's the thing that we keep commenting. We haven't heard a word from this new CEO, which fine, but they still need to have other people in the company putting out these updates because a lot of people are really getting disheartened because a lot of the people that were so, and I saw a post on this, I don't remember if it was this one, but there were certain internal developers that were really pushing the game on Twitch and were just totally enthusiastic about the game, and those guys have died down so much. Like, you don't hear it, and it seems like the wind's been taken out of their sails. And, you know, this is probably a reason why maybe some internal meetings said, hey, you guys just, tone it down for a while. That could be possible. But they still need to have some of these guys, maybe him. I know that Sebastian likes to post pictures and things like that, but he's not very wordy. Like he'll post saying, hey, look at this, this is coming up, but he doesn't explain anything, right? It's all short little Twitter posts. With this guy, maybe he's going to be from, hey, here's our point of view from the art department. What's going on from the art department.
What about the PR guy doing PR? Has anybody mentioned that? I mean, that's normally what these PR guys are supposed to do. The developers write the post, or the people that have the knowledge on whatever it may be, write the post, goes to the PR guy, he edits it and says, took this from, quoted from so-and-so, and then posts it. That's what a PR guy typically does.
Yeah.
Being realistic. That's how it works at a company.
Someone in chat is saying, how about blaming the Lizard Squad? And I'm not saying that the Lizard Squad
We're not condoning what they did.
Yeah, I mean, what they did was wrong. But sometimes when you're in the public eye, you have to approach things differently. And that's what these guys are going to have to do. I mean, that's what your PR person, as you were saying, is for. It's for putting that polished statement out. The problem is when random anonymous people on the internet do mean things, sometimes showing them that those mean things affect you is the worst thing that you can
do. Now, Brian knows this more than any of our viewers do. I am such a hothead. And I would have done exactly what Smedley did. I would have done the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Because I just have this mentality, you know, take shit from no one and just let it rip on Twitter. That's don't follow me if you don't want to hear about the Pittsburgh Steelers during football season. I'm a total hothead. It's just how I am. But when you're like that in the public eye, you're the CEO of a company, you're verified on Twitter, and you have a PR guy, you have to be careful. You really do.
Well, that's the thing. They have to be willing to use him. And that's what I was kind of getting at is, why not have these different departments, whoever's the head of the department, just put out a weekly update, like email out an update that he can say, hey, here's a word from the art department.
Exactly.
Here's a word from the Anna Hack department. Just to put something out there. It's a public facing, but maybe put a little bit of the internal baseball in there of, hey, here's what's working on internally. Here's something you can look forward to of anything they're looking at putting out in the next week or two.
Greg could even just walk over there, or anybody could say, hey, what are you guys working on this week? Jot down a few notes and then just write something.
Yeah.
You know, quick paragraph, two paragraphs. Just write something quick. Say, hey, this is an update from the art department. Bing, we're done.
Yeah.
But
they need to get mechanical about it, because that's one thing about, and I was thinking about this past week, is this company is not mechanical about any process. Everything seems to be knee-jerk, or it seems to be random. They don't have a, like, even with the roadmap and the patch notes and all the stuff, it just, like, there could have been a patch that between this the 13th and today, and we don't know about it. Or
the only way you know about it is if you see an update on the game.
Yeah, and I don't know if these things actually are happening. You know, it seems like there's patches that we don't hear about, or there's some things that come out that we don't hear about. They're just, for being a large company, you know, a fairly large company, there's just not that process of, here's what we do. You know, this is our job. So as the head of the art department, I'm going to send out this notification of new things that are coming out to our PR guy. These things are going to be released on this basis. And there's this process. It's just more of a, hey, if I think about it, I'm going to send out this email, or, you know, I'm going to send out this tweet, or I'm going to let this person know. I wish that it would be more mechanical so that I could count on having that information, because I look forward to seeing new things. I want to know about new things. And it just seems like it's either we have to go digging for it, or some random person, not this person's random, but, you know, some random employee has to feel like making a post about it or mentioning something somewhere. It doesn't happen on a regular basis. And I really like to have the information, like, okay, here's this week's set of changes.
Yeah.
Or here's what our graphics guys are, you know, here's what our, you know, whoever, you know, someone who's working on animations, here's what they're working on this week. Here's some cool things you can see. And I felt like I was getting that somewhat with Sebastian, right?
I'll say this, kind of getting off track here, Brian, a little bit. Mm-hmm. I'll say this one more time. We did not ask for them to be transparent, that they proposed transparency to their community. They decided to embrace Reddit. This was their doing at the end of the day. And I'm not saying they shouldn't have done that, but you can't say, well, it's, you know, they're not posting. That was their doing. It's not the audience. The gamers were not, hey, we want you to be transparent. Can you be transparent? And then they, you know, kind of did it a little bit. They initially, day one, wanted to be transparent with their audience, and now they're kind of falling back on that. And I'm sorry, but once you put out that expectation, you don't have the right to take it back. Well, that was what you built the game. That was the premise of this whole thing. It's early access, but we're going to keep you up to date with everything we do. And the last
and
3 weeks...
I don't necessarily care about transparency. I just want to be informed. I mean, that's it. you know, of things.
And the last 3 or 4 weeks, Brian, really haven't been that. They really haven't. We haven't been informed at all. There's either A, no development going on, but the developers assure us they are, or they're just not posting about it. I mean, there's two possible options. It's just so frustrating.
In this I'm sad post, because that's how this all started, right?
What did you write for the name of the I'm sad post in the show notes?
So in the show notes for I'm sad, I put Nick's clone.
Daffy 882 might as well just be my second Reddit. It's my secret Reddit account that I didn't tell anybody about. This guy is spot on with everything.
So I read this and I was like, hey, Nick, I think I found I found you on here. So this is one thing where I was saying that someone had mentioned, you know, it's like we got all this hype from Wizenhunt and Clegg and from Smedley before all of this. Right. Before the game was released. And that's what really built that anticipation of this game being released. And now, and he blames it on since Sony Online became Daybreak and they, you know, they cut employees and changes happened. And this is according to him. I'm not saying this is from the guy's post. The effort became more profitable, you know, and making money for this company rather than whatever it was before. And then Wizenhunt, you know, he left to go to Twitch. Smedley stepped down. And he says in here that he feels like the passion left. So, you know, and that's one thing that I don't know if that's totally true, but that is what it seems like from the outside. And it seems like he says in here that they really favor, and he puts favoritism, whatever, he made up a word for this, but it seems like they really favor the streamers instead of what he calls us peasants. And he feels like it's getting worse and worse.
Now, not being a live streamer, because I'm really not, but understanding the industry a little bit, I understand why they do stuff to please the streamers, because people streaming their game gets eyeballs on their game, gets sales on their games, and at the end of the day, gets people playing their game. When H1Z1 was the second game behind League of Legends being streamed on Twitch, there were 25,000 people playing, 30,000 people playing the game all the time. Since that number dropped, Brian, we were dipping to like 8,000 people during our show playing the game. The low of the low numbers. Brian, there were points where we would talk after the show and I would go, if this number gets any lower, they might just cancel the game. There's nobody playing the game, and it's since ticked up. But I understand them embracing the streamers. This is an early access game. They need eyeballs. They need people playing the game, having a good time, so that the people watching it will go and have a good time. I understand that part. I really do. But
that's what I said. This is this guy's opinion. But you know, we know we can hardly get anything out of them. You know, it's like, you know, we're part of the core audience and we can't get them to notify us of things. You know, we can't get any, we get listeners that send us H1Z1 shirts. You know, I mean, this isn't even from Daybreak.
Yeah.
So it's like, it just seems like if they cared about the we're not major streamers. So if they cared about the other ones, then why wouldn't they want to send us some shirts to give out to our listeners or, you know, it seems like that would be part of it, but it's only the main streamers who are not even focused on H1Z1, except for coming up to this tournament.
Yeah. I don't,
that's the part that frustrates me is it's like, why wouldn't they be like, hey, let's cater to the core audience of H1Z1. I mean, right now they're catering to the streamers, just hoping that they'll stream the game so that, you know, the 1,000 people that are watching them will see that.
Yeah. From day one, I really didn't understand how this company was run. Brian and I have some correspondence with them outside of the show, some emails back and forth. And I'm not trying to give anything away, but it's just, there's definitely a communication problem. And that's just, we saw this with, for example, the live streamer shirts that we weren't supposed to talk about. That was a clear example of a communication.
We can definitely talk about that now.
I mean, that clear example of communication. We were told, don't talk about this thing. Okay, is this the thing? No, that is not the thing. Okay, we talked about that thing. Well, that was the thing.
Yeah.
Total lack of communication. It's just so frustrating. And
So that was the thing. Exactly. That was the situation where they said, hey, there's something new coming up. We don't want you to talk about it. And it was the streamer shirts. They didn't say that in that.
And
post
by the way,
they just
it was
said there's something coming up.
And it was like 45 minutes before the show, mind you.
It was 45 minutes before the show that they mentioned this. And then they said, well, we said, well, is it this? And we brought up the shirts, from what I remember.
My
correctly.
Exact words were, is it the t-shirts?
And the response back was,
I have no clue what that is.
Yeah, I have no clue what that is. It has to do something with, and I don't even know if this other thing is something coming up. I would assume it's not. I mean, can we even say what the other thing he supposedly said it was?
I wouldn't.
I mean, I don't know. He said it's something to do with, and it's something that makes no sense.
He said it had something to do with parachutes or something like that.
Okay. So, and I don't know if there's something secret coming out with parachutes. I don't know. But what we said, is it the shirts? He said, no, it's something to do with parachutes. And how that made sense. And so we talked about the shirts. And then after the stream, they say, oh, it was the shirts.
It wasn't even after the stream. It was like a day and a half after the stream. It was like,
yeah.
It was like 2 days later, like, hey, don't talk about the t-shirts. I was like, well, you're SOL because we already talked about them.
I was like, well, it's done. Yeah, break NDA with Daybreak.
Yeah, the NDA. Like, we have enough correspondence to have an NDA. I mean, Jesus.
And so it's like, okay, what do you do? I mean, as you could see from that line of conversation, how were we supposed to know we weren't supposed to talk about the shirts? We were told that they didn't know what the shirts were. And so we said that, and this is from one of their main developers that was telling us to not talk about something.
Yeah.
So that was that situation. It was incredibly frustrating. And that's the kind of communication we get on a regular basis of when we try to communicate with them.
Yeah. So other than that, we only covered one topic in our show notes so far.
We got to get moving.
Well, we're fine. We have a cool bug to talk about, Brian.
And I was actually notified this by Killcam. So he was the one, and I saw a post on Reddit about it as well.
I'll let you introduce it while I get this video queued up.
Okay, so I see a video, and I didn't check it out yet, and then I went and was on Twitter or on Reddit, and I see, oh, check out this huge base. So I assume it's just another one of those posts where people are showing off some, you know, bunch of base platforms they put together and just made a big base. So I didn't think anything of it. So then I go and check out Killcam's video and pictures. When they're saying huge base,
it's literally a huge base.
It's like bases that are 100 times the normal size.
It's like Toy Story.
Yeah, it's like there's some steps to where you can't even get close to the step. Like the first step is the size of a regular base. And so people are running around this, and I guess some guy named Grim had figured out a way to do a bug on this, and he placed a bunch of objects that are just gigantic, and they're not all the same size. Like some are bigger than others.
Like the candles,
the candles are like the size of a silo.
Yeah,
and so these guys are running around, and if you look, like when they're running around, they're inside of a base that they're just trying to jump up the steps on, and it's just gigantic. But above them is another gigantic base. It's like a ceiling above the whole world.
Yeah.
Killcam does say that those giant bases have been popping up on other servers now as well, and also giant flares.
Uh-oh.
So there's some sort of bug that they have figured out that is allowing them to place these objects at just incredibly ridiculous proportions.
The fact that this hasn't been, it took this long for this bug to come out was shocking.
Well, okay, one issue is that after this happens, they stopped the server. You know, they kicked everybody off, and then they went through and made the bases this normal size and all the objects the normal size, and then they've been going through by hand and deleting these things for the ones that are floating in the air.
Yeah. So, who knows?
It's kind of a... They haven't figured out, I assume, what's actually allowing them to do this.
I thought that was pretty insane. I'm trying to find somebody else had a really good close up of the candles. I'm trying to find it. Yeah, here it is. This is Buzz Weaver, and you can see the candles almost look like big silos, with just these like red eternal flames on them. So that's pretty funny as well.
So you're saying that someone's hacked the executable, but still, this is a testament that they don't have the proper server-side checks happening. Because if my client says, place an object that is 100 times its normal size...
Go ahead!
Their server should say, hey, you're not allowed to place that object at 100 times the size. You can place it at the normal size.
Hey, yeah, okay. You were in Pleasant Valley 1 second ago, and now you're in Cranberry? Who cares?
As Kokem's saying in chat, the game server trusts game client input, and which he says that's the problem, which is what allows people to also fly around the world, allows them to clip through your walls. It allows them to do all sorts of things. That is the problem of them allowing so much to go to the server, not being checked and double checked, is what allows a lot of these hacks to happen. There needs to be more server-side checks. Even if... You know, what if they cut it down to where a server has a max of 100 people, but they did a lot more server-side checks? I think I would almost prefer that.
Might as well. I mean, there's really not even that many people playing survival. Yeah, it would at least bring the server populations more aligned. They still haven't turned any servers offline, have they?
No. It seems like all those servers... There's a lot of low-population servers.
A lot is an understatement. There's like one or two high and like four medium. Or maybe not even four. They're like two medium. That's it.
Yep.
It's pretty astonishing how little that stuff is.
And we hear it a lot from people in our chat, and you and I, and from our clan. It's pretty much people playing VRs now. I mean, that is the majority. And I, at first, was very hesitant. You know, I didn't want to do just VRs. And I was like, I'm going to keep doing survival. But, man, you get to the point where you're just kind of burnt out. Like it's, and everybody's getting there. It's like, all right, I really want to like survival and I really want to do it, but I just can't.
Yeah.
All right. I still want to support the game. I'll do it with VR.
Yeah. As of right now, there's one high pop, six medium pop servers. I just checked. So.
And someone's saying that one of the developers claims that the population has become more spread out through the servers.
I don't buy it.
But it used to be like, almost all of them were medium pop. I mean, there was a couple of high, very highs.
Yeah.
There was a lot of mediums, and then there was just one or two, three lows.
Now, the thing is, the servers used to be common for servers to fluctuate between medium and low. Like, we played on a medium pop server that in the middle of the night would go to low. And then as, you know, the clock ticked and then people in the UK got up, you would see the numbers go up a little bit, maybe it hit medium. But then once it became day in the UK... or in the U.S., then you would see it go to medium pop. That's not happening anymore.
Yeah.
All of these servers are low pop.
And they stay low pop all the time.
24 hours a day.
So, and it, actually, if you look on, Handy has on his website that history of the uptime. You can go and you can check that out. And what, Survivor's Rest?
Yeah, Survivor's Rest.
You can go there and look at the history of some of those servers and... You know, you could say, oh, it's just, you know, sometimes they're low. No, if you go look at some of those ones, they're low and they've been low for the last month.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I don't know why they haven't turned them offline. Why are they still on?
They really need to start condensing people so that they get that feel of feeling like there's people on. The only thing is if you condense them all, the people that are trying to escape to a low pop server to get away from the hackers. I mean, that doesn't solve that problem. The problem is doing more server side checks and cutting down on the hackers. Yeah. I mean, it's really tough because for them to have to be able to check every point of damage, like, okay, here's a shot happened. Let's verify that was the right amount of damage that gun should be able to do.
You're getting into the point where your game starts becoming unplayable. Because of the server side checks,
Why not have it? Okay, so here is a Daybreak. Take my idea. Fine. Why not make it so that there's more on the client side checks? My client side notifies Daybreak if your client misbehaves. Why not? Like if you
say that. Hold on. Say that one more time.
my client will complain to Daybreak if your client misbehaves. If I see you moving at a faster than normal speed, my client will notify Daybreak that you are moving at a faster than normal speed. If you shoot a bullet and it does higher damage than it's supposed to, and you kill me, my client notices this guy did three times the normal damage that he's supposed to do. Oh, I'm going to tell Daybreak that this guy, and it's all automated inside of the program. That would make it so that their servers aren't having to do so much work, but it would balance out. I mean, we used to do this with when we did Hangout Canopy. I mean, it's a product we came out. We had to have it to where some of the clients were doing some of the work because the servers couldn't handle the load of us doing everything. It wasn't like send us everything and we'll filter it out. So have the client side, and you can't rely on the hackers' client side doing it, right? Because they're going to take
those numbers.
Exactly. They're going to change the numbers. They're going to take that out. Have it to where my client, which is a non-hacked, totally legit client, is doing some of those checks. If I see another person doing something that's abnormal, it will notify, hey, this person is moving at an abnormal rate. It will make it so the servers don't have to do everything.
Valid.
I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me.
Logistically, it doesn't make any. I don't see it happening.
I know that when my client sees somebody moving at a faster rate, it can very easily see that because it's like this person's moving here. If let's say we had a group of five people, and all five of those people sent instantly a notice to the server, hey, this person is moving much faster than they're supposed to, or they teleported, and then instantly that server checks that client, sees that they did something inappropriate, and then bans them.
Yeah.
It Killcam makes a comment. See, I was bad this week. I actually played some World of Warcraft.
Did you really?
Yes.
Jeez, we're going to lose. I'm going to need a new co-host. If anybody would like to be a co-host, contact that infectionpodcast.com. We're losing mine.
So I tried to limit it. I didn't play today. So he says, and imagine if World of Warcraft trusted game clients as much as H1Z1 does. You know, not only in PvP that would be a problem, but people would be going and insta-killing huge raid bosses as well and getting achievements and you know, getting places they shouldn't be getting. You know, this is a problem, and other companies do these checks. They've got to figure out how to do these checks without totally lagging out the server. And as I said, I really think the client's doing a lot of the work for the servers because the information's already being sent around, right? I'm already getting notified of when somebody moves, of objects that are in the world. Mm-hmm. I get those notifications to my client already. Why not use a little bit of my CPU to check that that is valid?
Yeah, it makes sense. I got what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to say in a way that that will be clear, but it's like I could easily have it to where my client can tell if someone's speed hacking.
Yeah.
I mean, visually I can see it.
Exactly.
But the computer knows it too. So why not have a notification system? And they can even turn that on silently. I mean, maybe it's in there and we don't know it. But they could turn that on silently in the background of the client. We would never know.
Exactly.
They could make it so we would never know.
Exactly. So moving on from that, there was another glitch this week. Another video from Killcam here. This is the glitch under the dam thing here. And we're showing the video. Oh, and the video decided it was going to restart. Perfect.
Nice.
Yeah, wonderful. So you can see him right here next to this pipe when you walk into the dam. He glitches through the ground. He's walking in the water, and he can see above him. And what he's seeing is...
And this is a reproducible bug. I mean, he can go through and, someone told him about this, and he went in and did the exact same thing and was able to accomplish this.
Yep. And then you can see he kills him from under him, and then, you know.
If you wanted to, you could sit and just hide below here and wait all day.
Yeah,
no one would ever be able to shoot you.
I don't know how long. I would assume this has been in the game since the dam released.
Dam released.
Right? Yeah. I can't imagine.
People may have been taking advantage of it. People complain about dying randomly in the dam.
I've heard people complain. I've never been killed in the dam like that.
I avoid the dam. I always have.
And I wasn't in the dam all the time, but I was in the dam enough where I think if that many people knew about it, I probably would have been killed there once or twice. I never got killed in the dam silently. It was like, oh, you know, Packers. Never once.
Yeah. So Killigan is saying that he got killed a few times and he started asking around.
Interesting.
And then someone else is saying that like 3 or 4 months ago, some that his friend won a BR using this trick.
Yeah, if the safe zone isn't there. Yeah. Who knows?
So
there you go.
That is frustrating.
That's another glitch. That's
an environment glitch. But the fact that you can drop down and there's, you know, floor that
you don't fall through the world.
Yeah, it's because they put water and land underneath of it. They place that on top of the world, and so it's not. It has a bottom to it.
Yeah.
So when you go there, you drop and just land on the regular land.
Exactly. So we'll see what happens with that. I'm surprised it hasn't been said that it was fixed, but the video's been out for 2 or 3 days now. So,
I'm sure they're. I mean,
I'd hope.
I would assume they're going to fix it. Imagine if someone embarrassed people on the live stream of the tournament by doing that.
Yeah, I mean the video's got over 500 views, so
Daybreak's got to know about it.
You would think somebody was like, psst, "Hey, wake up! Yeah. You know what's going on? Let's fix this thing." Now we didn't have a lot from Sebastian this week, Brian, but we did have
one thing,
and you. Yep. Were a little curious about how this was going to work.
Yeah, because this is a ghillie suit.
Yeah, it's a ghillie suit.
And so he puts a picture of it here, and it's one solid suit. And I was trying to figure out, how is this going to work with the clothing option? Like, is this going to be three separate pieces that come together? Is it going to be, you have the helmet of the ghillie suit, the shirt, and the pants, and you have to get all three things? Is it going to skin at once? Are they going to add another slot for this, possibly? Because if you look at this ghillie suit, imagine if you just had the headpiece, how ridiculous that would look. Yeah.
It's going to be one suit. It's going to be one object. Now, how they place that object, who knows? But it's going to have to be one object, because you'll never find three parts. You'll spend your entire days trying to collect the whole ghillie suit, and you'll be dead before you can actually get one.
Okay, and here's another problem that I see with these ghillie suits. With the current engine and how things render, what difference will it make? They're going to be the same blob at a distance.
Yeah, the same running animation.
They've got to make it so that these things actually fade in with the background, which it doesn't. The only way that you can hide it a long distance right now is to go inside of a bush so that the bush renders instead of you.
Now, Ark says... in chat that it could be something that's crafted. So maybe with a bunch of scrap cloth and I'm trying to think of what other object would make sense. You can't collect leaves really.
But it could be just a bunch of scrap cloth and who knows what else. Yeah, maybe you apply a scrap cloth to a shirt.
Yeah, exactly. To make that.
I would want this to be something that's more difficult to get though. Like you don't want everybody running around in a suit.
So it's definitely not going to be crafted.
Because in DayZ, that was a tougher thing to get.
Oh, yeah, that was a big thing. Like, you would try to find people with ghillie suits just so you could kill them and take it. Like, that was a thing.
Yeah,
like,
it needs to be that rare in this game. It shouldn't be a skin to where instantly you go into BR and you have a ghillie suit.
Yeah. And the black blob thing is still unbelievable. Brian, in DayZ, you used to get headshots from unbelievable distances. Because you would just sit there and you would just wait and you would see the person... but you weren't sure exactly, and you would wait, and you would wait, and you would wait, and you would wait until, you know, they got up, and then you'd blast them from towns away, essentially, because you could see the player model. It was blurry and it was hazy, but you could see that there was an object there, and it wasn't just this black running icon that just you know catches the corner of your eye. This was a person doing that. And now I hope that'll be fixed with the new engine. That would make sense.
It seems like it's gotten better. Like it's not as much, at least the graphics settings that I'm running right now, it's not so much a black object running around. But there's still, when something's really far away, you can definitely tell that's something else in that environment. Even if they have camo on and all these things, just the way that it renders, they're two different things. It's very difficult, and I think they're going to have to fix something on the game level to make it to where people have the ability to actually, just like DayZ. I mean, DayZ, you could really make yourself match the environment.
Oh my God, you would have people running right next to you and not seeing you.
Yeah, people could run right by you and they'd have no idea. And that's impossible in this game.
One of the elements of DayZ,
unless you're inside of a bush.
One of the interesting things of DayZ was you would see people and then you would go and hide. That was an interesting thing. Like you could actually hide from people in that game. You can't hide from people in H1Z1. I'm going to pop out of this building and you're not going to see me. Like, I remember being in like Electro or Cherno and just sitting, like, I would hear a car and I'd run up into a building and I would just kind of, you know, make my viewpoint so I could see out the window, and I would just sit there for like 20 minutes until I would just watch people running around killing each other. I mean, that was a part of the game. You could be in plain sight and still be alive. It doesn't happen. You can't duck under, you can't sit on top of a hill and snipe people driving by. It just doesn't happen. I need to go play some DayZ. That sounds like fun.
This is something I'm hoping, because they keep talking about these new environments and they're going to be re-rendering and redoing some of the landscape. And I'm hoping that they've figured out a way to get to where your character actually, you know, if you're farther enough away and you're laying down and you're in all that camo, that you actually mold in and you match the environment. And even if I walked up to you, because I know right now, like me hiding other than being inside of a bush or something, there's no chance that I can be in an open area that's hidden, you know, and camo in and sit down and try to snipe people. Like, I can tell the second I come over the hill, if you're laying down, even no matter what you're wearing, I can see that there's someone there.
Exactly.
So.
But again, I think that once the new engine is implemented, that will no longer be a problem.
I'm really hoping that the rendering distances and all that is fixed with the new engine. No. And that things are smooth enough to where they can really get that fine-tuned.
Yeah. That's going to happen. I mean, Forge Light 2 will have that. It's got it.
Yep.
That's the whole thing.
Everything should be clear. And they can actually develop it with this type of game in mind.
Yes, exactly.
Because that's not what they've had before. Before, it's like they couldn't... They weren't anticipating a zombie survival MMO when they made the first Forge Light engine. Like, they had other things in mind, and now they know, well, this is going to be under this. Let's put things into the graphical part of it and put things into the features of it to be able to actually handle this.
Yeah. So. And we did have another piece of art from Sebastian this week. So we got a nice little double shot here. This is eye patches.
Yep.
Six brand new eye patches.
If you put an eye patch on, is it going to make it so that your screen looks different?
It's just a split down the middle of the screen. Half is black and half is your...
Once you lose all your depth, that'd be kind of a funny game mode. Like, you lose all your depth perception.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that would work. But
with an eye patch?
Yeah, the first one is just a regular tan eye patch. Second one is camo. Third is a red with a red star in the middle. Fourth is some type of snake skin. Fifth is you're like the Terminator. You have like a crosshair with a red dot on your eye. And then the sixth one is...
Is that a bug eye?
Yeah, it's a gold. It looks very odd.
It looks like a fly's eye to me.
It looks like a...
It looks like a bug eye.
Looks like a coin purse, like the material a coin purse would be made out of or something.
Yeah.
It's very weird. It's shiny. Not typically what you would see for the color of an eye patch. But those will be...
I'm sure we'll go in the glasses slot.
Yeah. But again, I mean...
Really? Okay, so here...
Go ahead,
maybe
Brian.
Here's a fun thing.
I'm just going to mute. Let it go.
No. This is something to give this a purpose, right? Why wouldn't you make it so that, okay, it does something weird when you're just running around, even if it does something weird with the 3D, depth perception and all that. But when you're doing sniper, like, this would enhance your sniper rifle ability. Being that, you know, you're close to an eye when you do a sniper rifle. What if this enhanced it? Because what's the point of running around this other than looks? Running around with an eye patch does nothing but damage you as far as if this were realistic.
All it does is piss everybody else in your clan off because you're the only one with an eye patch. Give me your eye patch.
But what if this, like, let's say when you have the eye patch on and you're using the sniper, like, maybe it acts a little bit differently. Wouldn't that be kind of fun?
Yeah. I guess.
I mean, I don't know. I'm just trying to think of a use for it. Yeah. But we have pig's heads, so you know, what's the use of that?
Exactly. The Google.
So, okay, so on this, the first thing I noticed for our chat, and we'll have to give him a little bit to answer, who does this person look like? Can you put it back up on screen?
Yes, hold on. Yep.
What streamer does this model look like? Because this is not a model that's in the game currently. Yeah, so Killcam says Brian's asking for more immersion. I mean, that's
pretty. I want you to see half the screen, damn it, if you have an eye patch on.
If you have an eye patch on, like, yeah, if you get shot in the leg, I want you to limp. Come on.
Bing, 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 bing.
CDM, yes, so Art got it. CDM the third. I looked at this and I'm like, are they going to start modeling characters after streamers so you can play as your favorite streamer?
You know, Brian Pose, here's going to be our models, right?
It's going to be a long time before we
we can't even get an email back. I mean,
they're not making us a shirt or anything. They're definitely not making a model of us in game.
If they're going to model me into the game, I have to have my thumb up all the time.
What if they made it so that only CDN the third could play as this character?
That would be such a waste of time for them to make an entire model for one person to play.
That guy brings in a lot of players for them. They made him a shirt. Okay, big deal. His people that watch can wear the shirt, but what if he can play as that guy?
Or, you wouldn't even be able to tell the difference unless you're
there's a skinny little Summit running around in game.
You'd have to be. You have to be right on top of that player model for you to even notice that it's. To even notice that it's different, realistically.
Yeah.
All right.
That just made me wonder: are they going to start releasing?
Just make my own. There you go.
Okay, so that brings us to another topic. I put it in here somewhere. Okay, so the H1Z1 Player Studio.
Now we did talk about this last.
We talked just a little bit, but. This is something that I think someone, saw in the forums that it's expected to be a month or two. So someone was asking about that. I saw it in the forums. Definitely, if they could do the player studio, would they allow us to suggest player models? Like, this is a player. I kind of doubt that. I think it's only going to be for skins and objects.
Yeah, it definitely.
Because let's say I put in a player and say, hey, this is me. Everyone would have to have that model from then on.
The game would be like 15
gigabytes.
It would
become incredibly bloated.
Yeah, it would just be full of assets. It would be like when you log onto a Garry's Mod server and you download everything at like 15K, and it takes half an hour. Like, you're just loading a bunch of zips and a bunch of MP3s. A bunch of distorted MP3s.
Gadlaw in chat says that he could make a player model for that angry fat guy on YouTube. I think, what's his...
That's so mean. I know his name. I'm not going to say it. That's just, you guys are terrible. Oh,
that's his character. Is supposed to be that.
Yeah, that's just the way that
but
was.
But he's
phrased.
Actually a very nice guy.
Yeah, Boogie. You're referring to Boogie.
Boogie Nights,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, so you're referring to Boogie. Everybody
that would be funny.
I want everybody on Twitch, or everybody on Reddit, everybody on YouTube to give Brian shit for being inconsiderate.
For once,
I am not the awful guy that everybody makes me out to be. All right,
you can get mad at Gadlaw. All he did is read his comment. I didn't say any personal opinion.
All right, we'll leave that there.
But that would be funny. Imagine it.
Oh, I can't believe Nick stopped Brian from saying that about that YouTuber guy. What a dick! It's exactly what the comments are going to be.
Yeah.
No.
But imagine if you could make a really huge player, like. Like in Ark.
Yeah, like
in
it's Ark. Sim. Like it's the Sim. Yeah. Like Sim
like in
3.
Ark, you can make some guy who's like 12 feet tall. You can make him like 2 feet tall and really wide. Yeah, that would be kind of funny if you could make a character that was just gigantic. You have him running through the door. You can't quite get through the door. They already had enough issue when they added 1 inch for the shoes.
And you had to jump.
A guy could go up the stairs.
Yeah.
Imagine what it would do if you could make your own model that was 12 feet tall. It's like, I can't even go inside of any building to loot.
Now, Brian, we have a cool new contest.
And, yes. And it's actually going on right now. It started yesterday.
It started today. And this is like a contest that regular people can win. Some of their other contests were a little unrealistic.
A lot of things they do are so aimed at streamers.
Yeah. So this one is the title of this one is H1Z1 Zombie Encounter Screenshot Sweepstakes. So it's mm-hmm. quite a mouthful there. It's the HZESS sweepstakes. That's the thing. Sweepstakes. And what this is doing is it's going to be on from now until the 21st. So from the Tuesday the 15th until Monday the 21st. So less than a week.
And you don't have to do video. So that, I mean, that's nice. Anyone can do this.
But you've got to be 18 years old. It does not say you need to live in the United States, according to the eligibility. But it may be in the fine terms. I didn't read through the fine terms because honestly,
I'd like you to send this to North Korea.
Yeah, I really didn't care. But the thing that they're doing is take a screenshot of a close encounter with a zombie in H1Z1, upload it to the sweepstakes site or follow H1Z1 on Twitter and send us a tweet that includes the screenshot. Of course, tweet it at H1Z1Game and Infection Podcast if you want us both to see it, and use the hashtag Zombie Encounter Promo. And you must be an H1Z1 in-game screenshot and feature
yep, and five randomly selected winners. Now, randomly selected winners.
So it doesn't really matter.
It doesn't matter what the screenshot is. So just submit a screenshot of any zombie.
Flood them
and
with
it's randomly selected.
And you're going to win a Razer, a Kraken headset. These are nice headsets. These are nice headsets. I'm gonna apply. Yeah,
I figured that they would try to pick screenshots that were cool, had some meaning to them. But everybody when it says randomly.
Oh, one per person, by the way. So if you have a bunch of Twitter accounts, create a bunch of fake Twitter accounts.
I was thinking, man, I'm gonna have to like do all this work to try to get a cool screenshot
and like edit it in Photoshop.
Nice.
Edit in Photoshop a little bit, bring the colors out or something.
Yeah, and then are you like, well, it doesn't really matter. It's not gonna go anywhere.
No, it's just.
It's just your name on a database saying, hey, he did enter
something.
They're
going to go to random.org and just dump the MySQL database into random.org and just press select five times. So that's that. You can, there'll be a link in our show notes for that. And there's already 32 pages worth of entries. I like this one. This guy's sticking up the middle fingers at the zombies as they walk in the door. That's a good one.
It looks like there's one guy who looks like he's arm wrestling a zombie or something. I don't know.
Yeah, we can view a few of these entries. Why not?
And one guy's sitting on the toilet while a zombie comes into the bathroom.
Got some black. There's some good. There's some quality stuff. And they got a Black Friday one where all the zombies are in front of Romero's trained. That's a good one. All right. Well, there you go. Go ahead and submit.
So yeah, but get your submitted in there so you can get into the random list generator.
Yeah, insane.
But anyways.
Yeah. So when you're those are like $100 headsets, I think somewhere.
I think they're like $80.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, still $80 headset.
But if you're using a cheap little like headphones from your phone or something, these are definitely better.
The iPhone earbuds are the best.
Okay, so. Yeah, see a lot of people online. So this, I went through Reddit, and
I'm sorry.
I was looking at things that would just small things even that I think would just improve the game very easily and not risk breaking a lot of other things, because that seems to be what we run into. Is they make a change, they're trying to be really big about it, and it seems like other things break.
Okay,
and so some posts here. That just were little things that I'm just like, well, why don't they implement this? One thing that I saw in here was the red aiming dot. And it doesn't have to be red aiming dot, a customizable colored aiming dot. Why don't they implement something like this? Because I found myself very much losing track of where the little dot is. Like when I'm shooting with an AR, sometimes I get to where I'm not even paying attention and I don't see where the dot is. And it takes me a second to find it on the screen. And that shouldn't be what an aiming reticle is.
I still stand by my red hot or my hot pink reticle. I still stand by that. There's still no color options.
I would prefer that over white.
Red, hot pink, a lime green.
Yeah, I usually go with the neon green.
Yeah, neon green or hot pink are my two colors to go to when I need to something needs to be up on the screen, because it does not. The only place it blends in is if you're missing assets in Gary's Mod 2 and everything's that checkered color. That's the only time there's ever hot pink like that in a video game.
So this is something that it doesn't even have to be. They could have a color wheel. that just in settings says, what color would you like your reticle to be? And it's a little color. I mean, if they need me to come up with a code to do it, I can put it together for them.
It's a service you provide.
Send it an email. Good luck. And then if they could have a selection of three different reticle types.
Yeah.
Why not? Let me pick the reticle. Have a checkbox that says, would you like to override our automatically suggested reticles? Yes. Well, I always want this reticle.
Now, why? I play a lot of Call of Duty, Brian. And in Call of Duty, there was a lot of like custom reticles, like a skull. Like, why would that not be part of the player studio? Why couldn't you make your own custom cool reticles?
Yeah, but
like, why couldn't you have
you
like
could.
Why couldn't you have like cool custom reticles? I bet you could make some cool, really cool custom reticles.
I mean, they could even limit them to a certain number of pixels high.
Oh yeah, totally. Pixels.
Inside of that, you can do whatever you want.
Exactly. Why can't you? Why wouldn't you be able to do your own custom reticle? That would be awesome. You do some custom reticles. Customization. It's an open game.
It's just, this seems like something could be so easy to add. And I think they're past the point. It seemed like before they were testing just to get the point of views of people on what reticles to use and things like that. I think they're past that point. I mean, they've already decided here's the reticles that we have for these different guns.
Yeah.
Okay, great. You have this set for those different guns. Let me pick which one I want to have now.
Yeah.
Because I just, the dot, I use the AR a lot in BRs, and it's just so hard to see that dot.
I can't disagree with you. They don't pop. A reticle needs to pop.
I need some, and I think that's another reason, like, I have a hard time with the shotgun because my first shot's always to upper left every time because that's where my mind, like, centers that gun at. And then I see, oh, there's the reticle, and then I move it to the right and take another shot. So I always hit my second shotgun shot, never my first. And for me, it feels like it's that stupid reticle that they use for that.
The struggle is real.
Yep. Now, I mean, that would be something easy to change.
Now, there was another one on here, Brian, that you posted.
And you really liked this one.
Yeah, this was a cool one. This is, so the inherent problem with H1Z1, and we're already running a little long on the show, so I'll try to keep this short and brief, but the current problem with H1Z1 is there's no incentive to log in. There's no tasks. The only thing that kept people logging in at one point was farming. Like, there would be members of our clans that would set alarms and in the middle of the night wake up and go and tend to crops. I mean, just insane stuff that you should not be doing. But
yeah,
people do that stuff. And what a post on Reddit was, survival can be uplifted with random events. And with random events, it's going to encourage you to stay logged in, because if you're on when that random event happens, there's going to be something to do. So it's not a set time, it's not a set event, but if you're logged in, like, hey, there's a chance that something may happen. So, like, one of his examples is clear a hotspot, where it would say, like, hey, in Pleasant Valley, Cranberry, the radio tower, there's something to do there. There's a zombie horde, you know, we need help, something like that. And then you go there and you mow down a bunch of zombies. Or storms, something like that. Or just like big roaming zombie hordes where people are trying to track them and triangulate them. And like you have to team together and kill them. But that would be like a server-side event. Like, you know, in Battle Royale, you hear the sirens going off. Like, why could you not hear that in game when like a zombie horde is released? And you have no clue where this horde is. It could be right next to you. It could be all the way up north. But that would be like a randomized server event, like a random drop on a server. Like,
and
here's a horde.
There's something you can get from that horde that's a very hard item to find.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be cool. And have it be an item that, if you know, on death, it disappears.
Exactly.
Kind of like what the compass does. Like, when you die, your compass goes away, which doesn't make any sense to me. But, oh, well, that's the item that disappears when you die. Have it be something that has a high risk of going away, but is something that's really cool to get. You know, whatever it is, that's what the zombies have. The storms, that would be harder to do, but something that if you're in that area, either you find shelter or, you know, you risk taking damage out in the storm, it would clear out an area and make people keep an eye.
You know, not even with the storm, it should make viewpoint. It should, Brian, you drive, I drive, some of our viewers drive. Your visibility when it's pouring rain, none. You have no visibility at all. I mean, that should be something that you have to do, right? There should be, if there is a downpour, you should not be able to literally see your hand in front of your face.
Yeah, you could have a tour, even it's just, it's, it, you know, they have a huge storm that just makes it incredibly hard to see anything.
Exactly. Now, but, you know,
have it be a quick storm, not be an hour long
and
storm.
Not the entire map. You know, you have heavy down. I'm a weather guy. You have heavy downpours in a certain area. So, you know, for this area is there's this is a really heavy downpour. It's raining everywhere else, but this is a really heavy downpour right in this area. You can't see what's going on. You got to either get out of it, find shelter, just do something. And that would be cool. And at least give you something
now,
to do.
Now, here is a response in that thread from Daybreak. And it says, yeah, this is something we are working towards right now. We want the Point of Interest in game to have all kinds, have some kind of unique gameplay element associated with them. And not just big props that you can run around in.
Yeah.
So that is something that they're claiming that there is going to be some sort of an event linked to, for instance, the hospital, the dam, whatever it is, something. And we've talked about it with the radio stations. And this is what I said at in the beginning days, isn't it?
The olden days.
When I said, hey, why don't you have it so this makes it so that this happens. You know, you have to do this at this location, which goes towards a bigger objective. I mean, this is what I have been pushing towards this whole time. I think they're seeing it much more now that people are getting tired of logging in and doing the same thing every day.
Exactly.
So,
who knows? Yeah.
But
that was the second one.
That was the second one. And then for the third one, this is just a small change that could make a big difference. Why not let your food rot? Why not have it to where there's more of an incentive to go out and find food? Let's say...
Oh, Ark has that. I was trying to think what game. Ark, yeah.
Have it to where food lasts a limited amount of time. And if it rots, that if they put a note in here, it starts to attract wildlife, maybe attract zombies, that there's... You can't just load up your bag with food and survive forever, that you still have to go out and find fresh food.
Yeah.
Maybe a can doesn't go bad, but maybe cans are more rare. You know, you find other pieces of food that aren't all preserved.
Exactly.
So Killcam says, here's his process for in the game. Log in, hammer the base, go out and kill people.
if there's people to kill.
Yeah. So, Falcon's Watch made a note in here. One of the art guys said in the meeting, said in his Meet the Devs video that he would like to do weather disasters as long as server resources would be in line to make it possible.
Got some tornadoes on the server. We're going to tear your base apart. Tornadoes.
So, those are little things that would be kind of fun, but that would add a little more variation to the servers.
Yeah.
Make you go out and do something like the food would make you go out and seek food more.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, the reticle was just a quality of life thing for
me. Ark has that system. Theirs, is, in my opinion, is a little too fast.
I mean, you pick up berries
and they're instantly 15 rotting.
Minutes, they're rotting.
Yeah. But, you know, a day? Day and a half?
Yeah.
Something like that. You know, where it's... We get to the point where we don't even have to worry about food. What, a 400 cooked rabbit?
You're never gonna food is incredible. Food is not a gameplay element right now, unless you just started. But of course, go find some berries. But it's not really a gameplay element right now. And I think that if they put in food, rotting food, you could make it more of an element.
Yeah. So we'll see. There's just so many little things. I'm just so turned off right now. Something needs to bring me back, and I'm not sure what it's going to be. But Brian, we do have an update.
Yes.
On the H1Z1 Invitational pool.
Yep. And there's what, a week and 2 days, you said?
A week and two days, I believe. I don't even know when the cutoff might be before that.
Well, I think we've done officially reached pretty much our cutoff point of people putting their guesses.
No more submissions. Through 9/22. Oh, so actually 1 week from now, the submissions will stop, or the money, I think, will stop.
Oh, because, the 26th, so it's more in the week in 2 days. I mean, it's...
No, it's exactly a week until the submissions, or until the key sales start going towards the final. So once the 22nd hits, I believe that will be the final price.
Final number, okay.
And then, you know, then there's like 3 or 4 days until the actual Invitational. But currently, as we sit here, I'll do another quick refresh and make sure the number hasn't changed. The number is... 156,000 $618. That is our current prize.
And pool. I think our official H1Z or our infection guess was 175. That was our compromise.
Yeah, it was 150. You were to what, 200?
200. So, yeah. So what, if we hit 175, that'll be the infection guess.
Yeah, what are we going to do? Send ourselves some gear?
Yeah.
Go to Spreadshirt and buy some stuff, some of our own crap.
Yeah, buy myself a treat. I'll get something nice.
Ryan, are you impressed with this number?
Yeah, I mean, it is a it was a lot more than you were suspecting in the beginning, right?
I think it was a lot more than all of us were suspecting.
No, I mean, I said I think I was the first one that said, no, I think this is going to go to 200,000. And you're like, you're crazy, because it was nowhere near this in the beginning.
I was like, yeah, I was like, I doubt it's going to hit 50 probably.
But it has slowed down.
Yes.
It was jumping thousands. I mean, it's still going, but it's definitely slowed down on the rate it's going up. So I don't think we're going to hit our 170. We may hit our 175,000, but definitely not hitting my 200,000 guess.
No, I mean,
I admit already that I think I've lost.
You're a brave man. there might be some. I still have a feeling some of that money was pushed from sponsors.
I really don't think so. Okay, but here's what pops into my mind. If this is accurate, so this is the sales from selling that crate, right? And you're surprised at how much that is.
Yes.
Now. That article that we had read earlier, the post that we had read earlier, was saying that, hey, you guys have made, what, $20 million or approximately off of us. You should have all this money. Why aren't you using it in the right places? Well, count in also all of these crate sales. If these are the crate sales, they're making a decent amount of side money on these crate sales.
A decent amount? This is only 25% of them.
Yeah, of just that one crate.
Yeah.
So they are making all the money of people purchasing the game plus all these crate sales or the key sales. So, I mean, they can't be doing that bad. We don't see any numbers of how much they're making. They don't talk about it.
Hush.
Yeah, but I mean, so they must be doing okay.
They are. I don't think money is an issue. Plus, they're owned by an investment company. So, and they're moving into a brand new facility. So I really doubt money is a problem.
An investment company is going to want them to make a profit, which I would assume they're doing very well.
Yeah, which most games do. Most successful games make a profit. Well, I don't know. Maybe that's too broad, but generally, games like this make a profit.
Yeah. So that was just the kind of thing that popped into my mind is how much are they making on everything else? I mean, they've got to be doing okay.
Now, let's go into our current players, everybody's favorite segment of the show. And Brian, we are still on the downtick with our 7-day peak at 19,812 active players, our 24-hour peak at 14,862 active players, and currently 11,191 players online.
Saturday and Sunday it went up, you know, over the weekend. Of course, people playing more on the weekend, and then it went back down again.
This number is significant. The 24-hour peak is over 2,000 players lower than it was last week. The 7-day peak is down about 1,000, and the current players was down about 2,500.
Yeah.
And this is not the first week that this has happened. This is probably the second or third week now that we've continued to see the downtrend. I hope we're not going to, it seems like the right as these numbers are getting low, the invitational is going to happen and the numbers are just going to fly right back up. I would think, but I could be wrong, but I just hope.
And the invitational is coming up pretty close. It seems like it always drops down and then something pulls it back up. But what's going to, I mean, wipes aren't doing it anymore. What's going to pull it back up?
Exactly. It's going to be the invitational. Or we're going to get, if it's not the invitational, then we're going to be back down to 8,000 current players like we were. I've lost track of time, but, you know,
And then we'll be waiting for the new map for that.
Which will bring people back. Exactly.
Yep. So in chat, they're saying new content, you know, another wipe may help. But we didn't see the jump in the wipe this last time.
Well, that's because people aren't playing survival, so wipes don't matter.
Yep. So they're going to have to add content.
Do we have a base?
Yeah, we do. Okay. My character's logged out inside of it.
What server? What server is it on?
Gangrene.
Oh, okay. show us how much I know.
Yep. So I logged in, make sure everything was cool with the base today. It's all there. I went and stood up on the top, looked around, saw nobody there.
Surprise. Is it a low pop?
Did some BRs.
Yeah, Gangrene is a low pop. Yep.
Yeah, low pop.
Wow.
So, yeah, so that's the current state. Now, one thing that I noticed, if you look at the owners and total players, I mentioned this to you, I was wondering how in the world did the number of owners drop? Like, it drops, let's say on September 3rd, there were 1,699,000 plus players
that owned the game.
And then on September 6th, it was 1,654,000. How did they get so many less owners of the game on Steam? And Killcam says bans?
I don't think so.
A lot of bans.
I don't think it's bans because you still own the game in Steam if you get banned. Remember, this is Steam stats, not H1Z1 stats. Even if you own the game, it doesn't remove the game from your library.
Yeah.
These are not banned. There's no way these are banned. This is people.
It just didn't make sense.
This is people that own the Steam app with that ID in their.
I can see players going down, but the number of owned copies of the game should never go down.
Be a graph. It can't.
A graph that only goes up.
It can't. It's impossible.
So do you want to show that back up on the screen again? So this is the owners and total players. The red line is the owners of the game. So this is the total number of people that actually own the game. And I was looking at it. I'm like, well, okay, why do we see dips in owners of the game? Refunds, he says, maybe people buying it and then canceling it. But that's a significant number.
That's like 45,000 refunds. No way.
Within 3 days, it goes, like 50,000, a little less than 50,000.
There's no way 50,000 people are refunding the game in 2 days. No way.
And that would be even more because there had to have been some people in those 3 days actually buying the game. These are countering each other. Like it would have to be a $30,000 negative out of beyond whoever canceled each other.
Remember, this is a third party site, so the stats aren't always 100% accurate.
I mean, maybe they aren't, but that's one thing that just kind of caught my eye. I was like, what in the world does that mean?
And initially I thought bans, but then when you realize that this is just looking at how many people own the app ID with 295110 as the ID, that's all it does. So if you get banned from, if your Daybreak account gets banned and you're not allowed to play on a server, you
should still show it in your Steam account.
You still will. You most certainly will. You still own the game. You just can't play.
Maybe if someone else can figure out why this is doing this, but that's one thing that, it could be the Steam stats are not 100% accurate.
That's what I would imagine. But I thought you brought that up and I was like, I've never even looked at that graph.
I always assumed it always went up. And then there was that one significant drop in those 3 days. And I was like, they don't always go up.
Yeah. So that's current players. Now, Brian, you do a segment.
Yes. And all right. So I do a beginner and advanced tip of the week. And these are just things that you can use in game. Sometimes they're little tricks that maybe you haven't noticed before. Sometimes they're more advanced. So hopefully whatever it is, it'll help you. So this is our tips of the week. All right, so for our beginner tip, this is something that I assume you've gotten past the point of being able to make bandages, because I think we've covered this in a previous one. But I wanted to give you a little bit of a tip on the fact that you can actually create bandages and bandage yourself at the same time. And this may be something that becomes incredibly important, maybe in a BR, since we have so many people playing BRs. But if you are making bandages, so you've shredded all those shirts, shredded all the backpacks and everything in a BR, and you've got a stack of bandages, you start taking damage, or maybe you're in the smoke or the the gas or something, and you realize, oh, I don't have any more bandages, you can start making, doing the mass producing of all those bandages. And while those bandages are being made, you can right click on them and apply those to yourself. So if you get in a bind, just remember that you can make bandages and you can still bandage yourself at the same time. You don't have to wait for all those bandages to finish before you actually start to bandage yourself. So that may save you from dying in the gas, or maybe if you're bleeding out or something. Definitely keep that in mind. And that works well for advanced beginners or advanced people as well. I actually noticed that a number of weeks ago when I was just doing a mass produce of them and started bandaging myself, and I figured it was a bug. But I think that is an intended feature. So definitely keep that in mind if you start bleeding out or taking damage. So, and then for our advanced tip, you're definitely going to have to look at the show notes for this, because this is something that we've mentioned in the show before, but I've been struggling with frame rates and everything lately. I've been trying to figure out how to get my my parachute sequence to start sooner. And so I went in and looked up all the settings that you may want to apply to your useroptions.ini file. And in
Hacker.
There, yeah, that's not hacking. I don't think you'll not get banned. Now, I did find that if you go in and then mess with some of these settings that I'm going to tell you, and you go into the settings inside of the game and make adjustments to that, that it will override a number of these settings. So, and some of these may, I don't know which ones that are currently accurate. Like some of these settings that I say change may be something they've taken out of the game because they have been adjusting those and they don't tell us. Thank you for the communication. But what you want to do is go and open your useroptions.ini file inside of the H1Z1 folder. You can get to that if you go into your Steam library and select properties on your H1Z1 game. And in there, there's a place that says, you know, browse my local files. Inside of there, you'll find a file named useroptions.ini. You can open that up in Notepad. And then there's a few things that, first of all, I like to change so that my window is window fold screen. I know we've covered that before, but I like to be able to not necessarily alt tab out of the game and have it to where it minimizes and takes a while to come back. I like to have it to where I can go and check other windows, or maybe just type something in Steam chat or in TeamSpeak or something without having to make it be such a big process going back and forth between the game. So one thing you can change is that mode equals full screen. You can make it mode equals full screen windowed. And that will allow you to hit your Windows key or insert, if you hit menu, hit the M key, you can actually leave the window and click on another screen on a different, another window on a different screen. And then I don't know if this one's necessary, but they had one where it says full screen mode equals full screen to full screen mode equals full screen windowed. I think that they've combined those down to where mode equals windows full screened is one setting, and then full screen mode equals windowed is all you have to do. But you can try putting these both, and we'll have this in the show notes. One thing they said to do is to put your texture quality to 3 and then put your shadow quality to 0. The shadow quality will help in frame rates. I noticed mine went up about 10 to 20 frames per second doing these changes. I don't know. You can put floor quality equals 0, but I think they may overwrite. I think people were using this one inappropriately, and I don't know if it allows you to actually customize this one anymore. And then I added motion blur equals 0, so they don't implement any kind of motion blur in game. And then I put mouse scrolling equals 0. And that seems to help with the responsiveness. So we'll have a list of these in our show notes. But as I said, I noticed about a 20 frames per second increase in changing these settings. And to keep in mind, keep the list of these settings, because if you do change a setting inside of the game, it will overwrite this whole file and you'll have to redo these. So those are my beginner and advanced tips of the week.
Thank you for that, Brian. Well, talk about the polar opposite of beginner and advanced.
Yeah. You know,
these things weren't even close. But
yeah, they're supposed to be.
Yeah, thank you. So, trying to think if we got anything else here.
I think we covered everything.
Yeah, I think we pretty much got it all.
And we're right under on the time.
Yeah. This is one of the longer shows we've had in a while. Brian, where can people find you on the net?
Yeah, if you want to find me, of course, go to infectionpodcast.com. On there will be a contact form for Nick and I. And we have our Steam group. If you're looking to play with people in-game, we've been doing, like, some of us have been doing a lot of BRs this week. maybe not some others.
I will. You know what? How about this, Brian? I'll play a BR with you at some point this week.
Okay. That works for me. We've been having other people, some people that are listeners, come and play. You don't even have to be a part of our clan, but you know, definitely come in and if you can join our Steam group, send me a message. You're more than welcome to join and play us in some BRs. Also, we play some other games, so if you play any other games and you want some people to play with, you're more than welcome to join that. If you go to infectionpodcast.com on the right, and there's a join screen Steam group button. Go on there and join that group. Also, if you want to go and find me on the internet, go to google.com/plus Brian Aldridge, and that will take you to my Google Plus page, and of course Bite of Tech with an I, biteoftech.com.
Bite of Tech with a Y? I'm sorry?
Nope, not with a Y.
Real quick, if you feel so inclined to support us, you can go to infectionpodcast.com/support. We've got our Amazon affiliate link and our PayPal donation button. If you feel so inclined to do so.
But, and we received a donation during the show. Thank you, Pat.
Did we? Mm-hmm. Awesome. So there you go. But really, actually, I can't see the chat because my laptop just died. But come watch the show live. We're live at the same time every week for the last 35 weeks. Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern. We're doing the show. We're here. We're live every week. So if you're listening to this after the fact and you're like, you know, I'm around that time, get over on Twitch. Twitch.tv/ Infection Podcast, and we're also simulcasting on YouTube, YouTube Gaming, so gaming.youtube.com, search for Infection, and we'll pop up as well. Brian, I'm working on another project that I know has, that some people may see this as a Nick is gone, we're never going to see him again, but it's another podcast I'm working on. Brian knew about this. This is not my goodbye.
He's not springing on me now.
I'm like, hey, sayonara, sucker, good luck with this game. But I'm working on a podcast with a friend of mine. And our name is pretty interesting. It's The Crummy Show, C-R-U-M-M-Y, just kind of indicating the show it's kind of crummy. And it's just, it's you come not to expect much when you listen to the stuff I do. But our website is thecrummyshow.com. And we did our first episode last week. It's in person.
Was it episode zero?
Episode zero. Yeah, episode zero. We did episode zero. We're doing one this week. It was like a soft launch. We didn't promote it at all. We just wanted to get one under our belt before we were like, hey, come listen to our podcast, and then just have it be a total train wreck. So it's just, it's a gaming tech pod. I can't see the chat, so I have no clue what's happening.
They're asking if it's all about food.
No, but it's a game. Our tagline is gaming, geekiness, and more. And we pretty much just cover anything. So it's my friend. It's my friend Jake and myself. He's in studio here, and it's an audio-only show, and we pretty much just talked for like an hour about... We talked about Amiibos last week, talked about Mario Maker, Pokemon Go, just general nerd stuff. So if you're interested in that, it's thecrummyshow.com, and this is not like...
The title suits you.
It does. You know, when your name is Nick, Craig, you come to... You hope that your viewers come to not expect much. So that's... We spared no expense with this new show. So, check it out if you're interested, but it's not live, but every show is released every Sunday, but I'll still be doing Infection, so
yeah,
until my show becomes highly successful and I'll be like, screw you, Brian, with an Aldrich
King. He's like, yeah, if you're not willing to pay me a show fee, I'm out of here.
Yeah, I run the whole thing, and it's like, you know, you have to pay me to show up. So check it out if you're interested,
Nick Clegg.
Yeah, Nick Clegg, that's my name. Long lost son. Yep. Alrighty, guys. That is going to do it for this week's episode of Infection. We're pretty much wherever you can get a podcast, Stitcher, TuneIn, any podcatcher. That's if we're not in some place and you listen to podcasts there, send us an email or tweet us and we'll get right on that. Guys, thank you so much for joining this week. My name is Nick Craig. InfectionPodcast.com is the website. And we'll see you guys next week for Infection. Have a good week, everybody.